Bowl calendar. That was yet another drop dead, absolutely no doubt about it, blemish on the record of the Pac-12. That was awful. I watched all of Twitter, all of it, the entire social media entity that is Twitter, Facebook, everything last night. We never get along, agree on anything, nothing. We all agreed that the Cheez-It Bowl was one of the most hard to watch, easiest to love, get me the hell out of here, I cannot blink because I might miss nothing or something or whatever. It's as bad, and it's the pug of bowl games. It's so incredibly ugly, it's almost pathetically adorable. The frickin' Cheez-It Bowl. And of course, in the pièce de résistance, mwah, that is the Cal Athletic Department, of course Cal loses that game. It would be impossible to be more on brand for Cal than to lose the Cheez-It Bowl in the manner in which they lost the Cheez-It Bowl. There was more debating the flavor of Cheez-Its that one prefer than the actual game. Bonte and I are in full agreement. I think the both of us are ready to go to war for the white cheddar Cheez-It. Some would say that's not an authentic Cheez-It. Hey, they're putting it in authentic Cheez-It boxes, so don't tell that to the good people at, what is that? Is that Frito-Lay? I don't know. Kellogg's? I don't know. I didn't do my Cheez-It research the way I probably should have coming into this. I have an awful lot for you today. We got a great show this afternoon. We've got the 49ers heading to L.A., which means I've got Mr. Los Angeles, Arash Markazi, joining me today. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, normally joins me on a Monday. We were not on Monday. We'll have the Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, joining us at 4 o'clock today. We've officially reached the end of our broadcasting year. I've got this show. I've got tomorrow's show. And then the next show that we do will be in the calendar year of 2019. We will have in memoriam. We'll be saying goodbye to those who we had to say goodbye to here in 2018. We're going to do that at 4:30, about 4:30-ish today. We've got a 5 before 5, even though I've got no Gianfranco in sight. I've got no Bouton Vixon in sight. We got a dude I've never even worked with before on the board. His name is James. He's wearing a Bears hat. I'm going to tell you, he's the third favorite person I've ever worked with in radio, just based on that alone. You show up with a Bears hat, you make a good impression on the host, James. Nice job. Let's see if you screw the show up or not today. Good luck to you. Albie is there. As always, Albie, no matter what happens, if it goes wrong, we're probably going to blame you, especially if 5 before 5 doesn't work today, because playing the role of Gianna, playing the role of Bouton Vixon, will be Albie doing the 5 before 5 today. Albie, are you ready?
So you're basically saying that I'm Nick Mullins of the 5 before 5.
You really are. You're the third string option for 5 before 5. Maybe you CJ Beathard button Vixen right the hell out of the gig.
He's doing pretty well, so I'm hoping, you know, it transpawns into here. So we'll see what happens.
You know what that makes Gianna?
What?
Gianna gang. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. Hopefully her ACLs are rested and ready to go when she comes back next week. We've got the Warriors Blazers coming up tonight. Warriors Live is at 6 o'clock tonight. And I'm just going to tell you right now, run to your bookie. Bet the farm on the Warriors. They are going to wipe the floor with the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. And I didn't think this until I heard the practice sound today. My friends, the Warriors are pissed off. The Golden State Warriors are a pissed off, fed up basketball team, and that usually spells trouble for who's ever up next on the schedule. The Warriors are flipping furious. You can hear it by the way they were talking today in practice. Klay Thompson might not like doing media, but he never gets surly or snarly or anything like that, and he is hardly a braggart. Klay Thompson likes to dodge anything that could be misinterpreted as quotable. He accidentally falls into quotable moments. He doesn't do it intentionally. There was intent today. The Golden State Warriors are a little sick and tired of hearing about how things aren't right. And in many ways, I think us saying, guys, things aren't what they used to be is a correct observation. It absolutely is. There is one thing, though, that is true. During this entire painful Warriors stretch, which you could say started when Steph Curry pulled his groin and got exacerbated when Draymond and KD got into it, and then got worse when Draymond got hurt, and then sort of came out of it, but then it falls back. It gets a little lackadaisical. Again, the Warriors are 13-11 in their last 24 games. That sounds like something that is punishable by severe penalty in the world of Golden State Warriors. And I guess it might be if it weren't for the fact that they're in sole possession of first place in the Western Conference. And that, by the way, is obviously something that Steve Kerr told them today, because I bet you everybody has been on the internet, on the Instagram, on the Twitters, reading all these think pieces. All these think pieces about what's wrong with the Warriors. We did our verbal think pieces yesterday with the Warriors. What's wrong? It's a language. It's a language that everyone is now used to. It's a language that has evolved and people now know how to speak it. It's a language that everyone has been speaking long enough where the Warriors don't have exclusive access to this language. Everyone understands them now. Nobody fears them. Nobody has that "I'm a foreigner" absolutely out of my depth when I step into Oracle Arena. And why I had my think pieces yesterday. Today, the Warriors took every single think piece, written, said, whatever about them, and here's the Golden State Warriors today in practice talking to all media. Not impressed. No, let me do this again. Screw you guys. I'm going to rip them into teeny tiny feet. It would be appropriate if I demonstrated for the rest of the show. This is the Golden State Warriors today in practice. Just tearing it up. Klay Thompson.
What is someone going to tell me about my jump shot that I can't fix at this point? Unless it's Reggie Miller or Ray Allen. I don't know who I'm supposed to listen to. Larry Bird? Steve Kerr. I'll listen to Steve. Steve shot 45%. But other than that, it's like I've done this job for a long enough time. I know what I need to do.
Klay has his long exchange with a reporter scrum. Monty Poole's asking him questions. Somebody else is asking him questions. And basically, Klay is saying stuff like this. Like, what are you asking me about a three? What are we going to talk about shooting a three? Come on.
What is someone going to tell me about my jump shot that I can't fix at this point? Unless it's Reggie Miller or Ray Allen. I don't know who I'm supposed to listen to. Larry Bird? Steve Kerr. I'll listen to Steve. Steve shot 45%. But other than that, it's like I've done this job for a long enough time. I know what I need to do.
Yeah, not having it. Klay Thompson decided to end that reporter scrum with this.
I mean, just because I've had a few bad games in a row, I'm not going to worry about not shooting the ball well. I'm one of the best shooters ever played, so I don't really care what people say.
I'm one of the best shooters that has ever played. Why don't all of you get off my floor? That's not the normal Klay Thompson we get. Meanwhile, Draymond Green's talking about putting it all on the planet.
My defender going to have to pay. So whatever action I'm in, I'm going to start lighting their ass up. And that don't just mean scoring, by the way. I ain't really been doing me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't been playmaking like I can. I ain't been scoring when I got the opportunity. I ain't been rebounding like I can. I ain't been defending. Like, I just haven't been myself. You know, so I think everybody's kind of looking at the scoring or whatnot. I don't really look at that. You know, like, yeah, I got to be more aggressive on the offensive end, but I just got to be me all around.
You know, like I said before, sooner rather than later, they're going to have to pay. And then they'll have to switch their up.
These are interesting questions. I'm really enjoying this media session. There's no doubt about it. I mean, God. What's the number tonight? Warriors are covering. They are frosty. They are pissed off. Draymond says, I'm going to be me. Klay Thompson saying, I'm one of the greatest shooters of all time. We're in first place. Get off our nuts. I like the Warriors against the Blazers tonight, and you probably should too. 888-957-9570. We got an awful lot for you today. Like I said, Arash Markazi is going to join us this hour. Michael Irvin at the top of next hour. A goodbye to those who have said goodbye to us in 2018. We're going to do that around 4:30. Warriors Live is coming up at 6 o'clock. We just found out that our 49ers player to be named later today is Fred Warner. Yeah. Fred Warner. Nice. We have not talked to the rookie linebacker from BYU who is just finishing up his first season. Guy's been one of the most dependable things on a defense that hasn't been too dependable, but is improving. Fred Warner going to join us today. Looking forward to that at 5 o'clock. Absolutely. I already got the text line saying, talk, 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 show it on the floor. The Warriors usually do put it on the floor when they feel threatened, when they get pissed, and the Warriors sound a little pissed to me. We got a big show for you today. Don't you go anywhere. Here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, I'm not too much in the prediction business, but the Golden State Warriors, whenever they feel threatened or poked, usually go on a nice little run. Now, this has not been the usual year, and it feels like we're looking for a little usual to kick in. Well, we had an unusual back and forth with some Warriors in the media today at practice, and they just sound a little frosty. They sound a little like they've been disrespected, and it feels like Klay Thompson is over and done talking about what shooter he is or isn't in the moment. It feels like Steve Kerr, you know, who always keeps his cool. He's always respectful. No matter what stupid question you can come up with, he'll try to answer it. But he just says it's real, real, real simple. Real simple. Nobody's microscope is as intense and is as focused as the one on us. We get scrutinized in a way that really doesn't happen in other NBA cities.
The bar's been set high, and I told our guys that. I gave them that line today. You guys have set the bar really high. Everything takes on a little greater sense of urgency in terms of what happens around the team. We're maybe the most scrutinized team in the history of the league. I know we're right there with the Bulls teams that I played on it. Felt the same, but even more so now because of the number of media outlets and the immediacy of the judgment.
Damon, don't you think that Lillard, he's ready for the Warriors? The guy balls out every single time. I would take the line and Portland tonight. Fred in Vallejo. Fred, go ahead. Everything that I'm hearing out of practice today means this team's going to come out and they're not going to bring a knife to a gunfight. It sounds like they are going to be ready to go. Again, I haven't heard Klay Thompson get surly with reporters in a real long time. When asked, poked, prodded about his three-point shot or lack thereof, someone said, Klay Thompson,
what is someone going to tell me about my jump shot that I can't fix at this point? Unless it's Reggie Miller or Ray Allen, I don't know who I'm supposed to listen to. Larry Bird? Steve Kerr, I'll listen to Steve. Steve shot 45%. But other than that, it's like I've done this job for a long enough time. I know what I need to do.
From the Chilton Auto Body text line, Damon, do you think that someone should bring Klay another appliance, like another toaster, a microwave, a freezer perhaps, maybe a Roomba for him to sign? That'll get him out of the slump. Psycho Mike. Hey, look, I wouldn't want to bring any of those to Klay Thompson right now unless I were Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, or Larry Bird. Maybe Steve Kerr. Klay is done asking or answering questions of people who just never taken even a shot in this league.
I mean, just because I've had a few bad games in a row, I'm not going to worry about not shooting the ball well. I'm one of the best shooters to ever play, so I don't really care what people say.
Look, no doubt, Lillard coming in here, it's a homecoming for him. He played his high school ball in Oakland before attending Weber State. He loves coming in here. He's had 37 or more on three different occasions. But the Portland Trailblazers, they're 1-9 in their last 10 visits to Oracle Arena. By the way, the Warriors have sold out 310 consecutive home games, a streak that began on December 18th, 2012. The 310th straight game came on Christmas Day, their blowout loss to the Lakers, tying the franchise mark. So tonight, it'll be a new record for sellouts for the Warriors. I know Joe Lacob likes that. McCollum, that's the guy you got to worry about. Lillard all by himself will never be enough to beat the Golden State Warriors. But Lillard and McCollum cooking together, now you got yourself a basketball game. We'll see what it looks like tonight. Me, I feel like the Warriors, they sound pissed. Again, Draymond, asked about all of his struggles, had to say,
"My defender gonna have to pay. So whatever action I'm in, I'm gonna start lighting their ass up. And that don't just mean scoring, by the way. I ain't really been doing me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't been playmaking like I can. I ain't been scoring when I got the opportunity. I ain't been rebounding like I can. I ain't been defending. Like, I just haven't been myself. You know, so I think everybody's kind of looking at the scoring or whatnot. I don't really look at that. You know, like, yeah, I got to be more aggressive on the offensive end, but I just got to be me all around. You know, like I said before, sooner rather than later, they're going to have to pay. And then they'll have to switch their up."
We got multiple curse words in a single soundbite. They're tired. They're tired of the press. They're tired of the negativity. And their best argument is, hey, everybody, while you're pushing panic buttons, just remember, if you want to get to us in the standings, you better push Penthouse, because we are on top of the Western Conference right now. And they are. Even 13-11 in their last 24 games, even a disappointing showing on Christmas Day, only has the Warriors sitting in first place. They're 23-12. That is a 657 winning percentage. The Nuggets are 21-11. That is a 656 winning percentage. First place, number one seed, Golden State Warriors. I've got a little segment prepared for later. It might even have to get pushed to tomorrow. We got so much good sound for practice today. But it was like a crystal ball for 2019. And before I heard any of this sound, from practice today, one of the things that I wrote down for my predictions for the upcoming year was this. And you're going to say, that's pretty simple and easy to do. But look at all the doubt that's been thrown around just in the last 48 hours. One of my predictions for 2019 is a Warriors three-peat. Look, I'll admit, we've had drama. You could even say we're having drama. But this ends in a championship until another team proves them wrong. Forget about pundits. Forget about talking heads. Forget about Skip Bayless. Forget about Nick Wright. Forget about me. Until somebody beats this game, this team, in a seven-game series, they ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere yet. As of right now, they're in sole possession of first place in the Western Conference. How bad could things be? 888-957-9570 is the number. I've got the 2018 Bay Area top 10 sports stories. I've got it ready to go. It's been lovingly prepared. We're going to give it to you. But after we get to Arash Markazi, who's going to be joining us because he's Mr. LA for ESPN. We're going to have him on in just a little bit. I've got some really good stuff here. Really good stuff in terms of the top 10 stories. I think you're certainly thinking of some of them right now. They're easy to put your finger on. To me, the single greatest sports moment in 2018 does not come from a championship. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do. What could possibly outrank the Warriors winning another championship in terms of sports accomplishments here in 2019? I'll tell you. I'll tell you in a little bit. What do we got here? Damon, the Bears are 100% definitely playing the Vikings opening weekend in the playoffs. If you think Nagy is going to show his game plan to the Vikings and possibly lose, you're fooling yourself more than a Trubisky truther. Huh? If the Bears beat the Vikings tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but this weekend, the Vikings don't go to the playoffs. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no scenario where the Bears beat the Vikings and then the Vikings meet the Bears in the first round of the playoffs. It's win and you're in the playoffs. If they beat the Vikings don't reach the playoffs. By the way, there is nobody, zero human beings, maybe in the world of sports, who have more pressure squarely on their shoulders than what Kirk Cousins has on his shoulders this weekend. Kirk Cousins was given $90 million guaranteed dollars to be a playoff quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, and if he is not beating the Chicago Bears this weekend, he didn't get him as far as Case Keenum did. He didn't even get him as far as Case Keenum did last year. Kirk Cousins, if he loses this game, look, he's the Vikings quarterback week one next year. There's not lose or leave town pressure on him because he's at the beginning of a three-year run. But what a long offseason full of question marks and doubt about Kirk Cousins. I mean, that is going to be some serious drama in the city of Minnesota. Or the state of Minnesota. Minnesota is not a city, last time I checked. But you know what I mean. That is some serious pressure. Damon, I believe the Eagles have to win, though, or the Vikings do get in regardless. I don't know if those Eagles are going to win. I don't think so. I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts. The biggest moving part is Bears beat the Vikings. They're probably going home. What's really good, what I really love about how the NFL schedule breaks this weekend is that all the teams that feel like, okay, well, this result is connected to how difficult or long the other team's going to play. Like if the 49ers lay down and die against the Rams and the Rams are cruising an uneasy street, then this team might not play as hard over here because their results, all these teams play at the same time. All these teams are playing at the same time. It's going to be a fun weekend. This is going to be a great football weekend. Not only have you got bowl games galore, and I don't know how anybody lives up to the Cheez-Its Bowl, but not only are you going to have bowl games galore and really the college football Final Four, all the other games that are going on, there's some good stuff out there. Panthers, Saints, sure, give it to me. Cowboys, Giants, yeah, give it to me. Eli's last stand, why not? Raiders, Chiefs, reason to keep an eye on that. Rams, Niners, that game impacts. Bears, Vikings, all those games are 125 starts. Good times. Bengals, Steelers, who's going to walk away with AFC? Browns, Ravens has something to do with it. Eagles, Redskins, it's good stuff, man. Good stuff. But like I said, the 49ers, they've got the L.A. Rams coming up. Senior writer for ESPN Los Angeles, Arash Markazi, is my go-to guy. Whenever the story is L.A., we like to talk to Arash. Arash, always a pleasure to have you on, man. Thank you so much. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good.
Good to have you on again. Was the Christmas Day blowout, do you think, more of a product of the Lakers showing up or the Warriors staying in bed a little bit too long?
Probably a combination of both. I mean, I really thought the way it played out was great for the Lakers' young players. You know, I mean, they had a 14-point lead or whatever it was where, like, LeBron goes down in the third quarter. And, Damon, we've seen time and time again. I mean, like, then the Warriors usually come back. They wake up and they win by 14. The fact that the young Lakers, without LeBron, were able to extend that lead to 24 or whatever it was, I think that will help them long-term. But, again, as long as the Warriors are healthy and focused, I am not concerned about them.
I tell you, I'm really not that concerned either. It sounds like today the Warriors have officially been asked one too many "we're concerned about your season" questions. They're having a frosty day of practice. I think the Trailblazers might be in for it tonight. But look, LeBron is doing something special in L.A. There is no doubt that that is instantly a better team, whether he is on or off the court. They certainly played with a different swagger than they have in the couple past seasons. And this guy, you know, he's just... there is a confidence that he puts on a team just by being on that team that really is immeasurable. It's invaluable. I mean, I was one of the ones who said, look, let's see if he can even turn the Lakers into a playoff team this year. And now I got to be honest with you. Let's see if the Lakers aren't meeting the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals this year. Like, he changes things fast.
I mean, that was the ceiling, like, that I said I've always felt for this team. I said if they can find a way, and I really didn't think they could get there this season, if they can find a way to meet and play the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, I mean, that's the ceiling. Because unless something happened to two or three of the starters on the Warriors, that team is going to the NBA Finals, and that team will win the championship. But I really thought coming into the year, and this may still be the case, you know, for them to contend and to get to that conference final situation and to kind of push maybe the Warriors to six games, that they would have to make a trade at some point. But I mean, but if this young core can figure out a way to get there this season, and then you go into the summer of 2019 with a max slot, they're in a great position long term.
LeBron picks up AP Male Athlete of the Year. Seems a little superfluous. Seems a little unnecessary, especially since he just lost the NBA Finals. Like, I appreciate LeBron more than most. I'm certainly no hater, but I just, the constant sucking up, it is a bit much.
And I didn't know what the Bron, like, what did they do it because he went to the Lakers and that made news? Did they do it because he took some political stances, or he has his own school? Like, I wasn't sure why they gave it to him this particular year. Clearly, when he's won the MVP and won the championship, that makes sense. This particular year, I'm not quite sure why.
Arash Markazi, senior writer for ESPN Los Angeles, but that's not the first thing you read on his resume. Sandwich at Ike's is what he claims is the first part of his resume. It's certainly what I have on mine. We got 49ers and Rams again in the final week of the year. Sean McVay, I feel, made a big mistake by letting the foot off his gas last year, not playing the starters. I think that Kyle Shanahan looks at measuring his team against the Rams as something he is always going to do to the full extent of his powers, draft pick be damned. Like, he wants to beat McVay. McVay wants to beat him. This sets up a probably more interesting than it should be game between the Rams and Niners this weekend.
Yeah, that they have to win, Damon. I mean, they cannot afford to have a wild card game at home. That divisional round game, they need to have a week off. So this is a game that they have to win. And as you just mentioned, they don't know if the Bears are going to win or lose because that game is going to happen at the same time. So this is a game that the Rams are going to try to win.
Why is Marcus Peters going in the stands after people? Is that the first sign of a little kink in the armor?
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, this is something where he's been a hothead for this majority of the season. He's gone after the press, not in a bad way, but like if you ask him the wrong question, he kind of challenges you. And yeah, I mean, listen, that is not a smart thing. And I think he got lucky that he didn't get suspended. I mean, you can't go into the crowd. I'm not sure what that person told him or what they said to him, but you can't have that happen. And clearly that bye week did something to this team. That team that beat the Chiefs, that was not the same team that returned and lost two games. And so maybe they found their mojo. We'll see. But that is just not the same team that we've seen these last couple of weeks.
Is there anything, Arash, in Los Angeles that even resembles interest in what the Chargers are doing?
No, and I really feel bad. I thought if they had won that Saturday night game, primetime game against Baltimore, and then we find out that the Chiefs lose on Sunday night and they would have put themselves in a position to have the number one seed, maybe there would have been some movement, some talk, but then they lose in the fashion that they did. And no, they haven't moved the needle. I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, there's a majority of people in Los Angeles feel that that team belongs in San Diego, that is the San Diego Chargers, and they do not belong here. And so, again, I don't feel bad for Dean Spanos, but I feel bad for the players. I mean, that is one of the top five teams of the league, and no one in Los Angeles cares.
Arash Markazi is a senior writer for ESPN LA, but you do bounce around an awful lot. I think I saw you looked at a year-end review, 10 biggest sporting events, and you were at 9 of them, and the only reason why you couldn't be at all 10 is because you can't get to the NFC and AFC title game on the same day. It was like about ratings or something. So you get around an awful lot. You've seen an awful lot of things here in this last calendar year. When I say sports in 2018, what will be some of your most vivid memories? What is going to jump out to you in terms of memory lane of the last year in sports?
You know, the beginning of the year was pretty amazing in terms of the Philadelphia Eagles not only winning, but Nick Foles doing it in the fashion that they did, and they beat the New England Patriots, and that was really dramatic and fantastic. I'm trying to think of some of the other highlights of the year that I had. I mean, like the run that the Las Vegas Golden Knights had, and I was lucky enough to cover their entire playoff run. That was amazing. I mean, like, I would have personally have loved to have seen them win, but then you get Washington finally winning their first championship in franchise history, the Washington Capitals. That was a great moment. As a Dodgers fan, I would have loved to see the Dodgers win, but you had that classic game that goes into 2 o'clock in the morning here in Los Angeles, and people are I'm having a cup of coffee in New York, 5 o'clock in the morning, watching the end of a World Series game between two historic franchises. That was fantastic. So it's been a really fantastic year.
Be honest. Did you run out and buy a Max Muncy jersey?
I did not, but I loved Max Muncy. I mean, he was that guy that I was like, you know what? If they can find a way to win this World Series, he'll maybe be like that kind of Kirk Gibson type of player where he doesn't have to buy food or drink in town again. I mean, I was like, if that sparks them to a World Series victory, Max Muncy is a hero forever here.
Arash is a great follow on Twitter. Fantastic to read his stuff. Always follow him. Always do his what I love about your work, man, is you bring a joy with you into the press box. And there's enough local freaking curmudgeons out there who don't even enjoy working in sports, and you really do, and it comes through in your work all the time. Thanks for joining us once again. Thanks for joining us every single time that we called you here in the last year. We look forward to talking to you more in 2019, my friend.
Thank you so much, Damon. We'll talk to you soon.
Arash Markazi, he's also a sandwich at Ike's, and that means you're officially in the circle of trust as far as I'm concerned. Great stuff from him. I tell you what. What should we do next? Should we go with the crystal ball predictions for the upcoming year? Or should we go with the top 10 sports stories of the year? You know what? Let's do that. Top 10 sports stories of 2018 coming up next. And then at 4 o'clock, the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin, here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
It's that time of the year where we start looking backwards just a little bit to remember where we went all year long. The things that we did, the things that we saw, the memories that we made. You ready for a little year in review? You ready for a good old-fashioned top 10? I hope you are. We searched far and wide. Everywhere. We went everywhere to try to find the 10 biggest stories in the Bay Area. And I'll tell you, had Cal actually won the Cheez-Its Bowl? I don't know if they cracked this top 10. That's how tough and exclusive this top 10 really is. TCU won the Cheez-Its Bowl in overtime. I'll never forget where I was. But it's time to go to the top 10. Are you ready? I'm gonna do these in order. I'm going to start, instead of going 10 to 1, I'm just going to give it to you right off the rip. Are you ready? I lied. I'm going to start with number 2. I'm going to go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then I'm going to tell you what number 1 is. Because number 1 isn't an NBA championship. I've seen those before. I'm never going to get sick of seeing those. Number 1 is something I had not seen before. We'll get to that in just a minute. We'll start with number 2, though. Number 2 of the top 10 most important Bay Area sports stories was the Golden State Warriors winning Game 7 against Houston, and then Kevin Durant's dagger in Cleveland to send us to another parade.
Durant standing on the logo, waves Curry away. He's got Rodney Hood guarding him. Gets Iguodala to the right side, pulls up downtown. Durant for 3, way downtown. He doubles the Warriors' advantage to 106-100. It's a playoff career high 43 points for Kevin Durant. 106-100 Warriors and a timeout for Cleveland.
Closed out another game. Another finals MVP from basically the exact same spot on the floor he had hit from the year before. Back-to-back titles, Durant was incredible, and that is the second biggest story, as far as I'm concerned, in the Bay Area in 2018. Third biggest story, it was the Raiders trading Khalil Mack. It's something that no one really expected. It's something that no one really predicted. Raider fans, They were ready to die on the Khalil Mack will never be traded hill, and a lot of fans died that day. It's still stunning. It will be the decision that John Gruden's return to the NFL, it will be the only thing he is measured by until he wins a playoff game. I mean, you could be, you could not like my show all you want. If you're the biggest card-carrying member of Raider Nation, you're going to have to agree with me on this one. John Gruden's defining moment since returning to the NFL was trading Khalil Mack, and it will be until he wins a playoff game. Raiders trading Khalil Mack, the third biggest story of the year. Number four, what's Too Short's favorite word? You know what it is. And so did Draymond Green, and he used it on Kevin Durant in a situation where you really don't want to be caught using that word. And there's no doubt that Draymond versus KD, which just happened a little while ago, was the fourth biggest story of the entire year. It was so big. The first moment of actual tension inside the Warriors locker room that really spilled out in front of us in this entire Steve Kerr era. Something else. It really was. And you know what? It was such a big story that it just beats out story number five, which was Gucci gang, 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 turning into Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. The fifth biggest story of 2018 is the torn ACL of Jimmy Garoppolo turning eventually into Nick Mullins. Who would have ever thought Nick Mullins was going to play a role in any of our lives, period, end of story. Third-string quarterbacks don't become week-in, week-out topics. Normally, a third-string quarterback comes in and falls so flat on their face that the team is looking for another quarterback. Like, they'll bring in somebody off the streets rather than stick with this guy for another week or two. Well, that's not how it's gone for Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins quickly made everybody forget about C.J. Beathard. I'm not going to say he's made anybody forget about Jimmy Garoppolo and what was supposed to be this season, but he is a silver lining in an otherwise dark NFL year for 49ers fans. Nick Mullins out of nowhere. Story number five after the torn Jimmy ACL. Story number six, some things about the Oakland A's will never cease to amaze me, like the fact that they made the playoffs with the lowest opening day payroll, that Bob Melvin finally got his close-up, deservedly so, and was getting the love that he deserved. And you got to go all the way back to the very beginning of the year almost when Sean Manaea did this, the sixth biggest story of the year.
And this will be a 2-0 pitch. And it's on the way, and it's swung on a ground ball to short. Simeon's got it. Throws to second for the force, and Sean Manaea has no-hit the Red Sox. And the A's vault out of the dugout. Here they come in from the bullpen, and they're mobbing Manaea just to the left of the pitcher's mound at the Coliseum in Oakland. The seventh no-hitter in Oakland Athletics history. It comes on the 21st of April, 2018.
And it would come, Ken Korak, against the eventual World Series champion Boston Red Sox of all team, a team that hit the cover off the ball all year long, but not that day against Sean Manaea. Sean Manaea's no-hitter, the sixth biggest story of the year. And then obviously, and sadly, the aftermath. Even though the A's were this unbelievable story, even though Bob Melvin did an unbelievable job and they had a ton of fresh, interesting faces, people didn't buy tickets to see them. People didn't go to their TVs to watch them. And people didn't certainly turn on this radio station to listen to them. And our station and our relationship with the A's is something that is you know, it's too bad. It's a shame. Believe me. Believe me. There's nothing more we wanted to be than the flagship station of a team that played baseball and had a big audience. We would have loved to have been that. We're in the audience business. This ain't PBS. This ain't KQED, okay? We are for profit. The A's are without a radio audience. the fact that they've not signed on with any other station is proof of that. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just, I wish it would have happened. I wish the sixth story of the year was about how much we love the A's and people could not get enough of them. They overexcelled. They went to the playoffs. They had a no-hitter. Very few people cared. Story number seven. Just as weird as anything and maybe the most difficult to understand sports story of the year is when Mike Schumann stole that jacket from the Warriors game. I still don't understand that story. It's the only thing on this list that I can tell you. I still have absolutely no idea what happened there. Why a guy as respected and liked as him would pick up a jacket that wasn't his, clearly, and take it home and be caught and be coy with this whole thing. It's so weird. It cost a guy who was a longtime Bay Area media member his job, and I don't even know if it's a rightfully so or too bad that it happened. Like, ew, the whole thing was freaking weird. And that's why I got it as the seventh biggest story in 2018 Bay Area sports. It really was. Mike Schumann fired for stealing a jacket of a Warriors security guard member. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. It's insane. I can't believe it happened. Story number eight for our top 10. Reuben Foster officially joining the all-time list of Bay Area's Hall of Shame. Reuben Foster had such a bright career just waiting for him in the tech capital of the frickin' world, right in the Bay Area. You got life by the short and curlies, and he could not get out of his own way. He could not stay out of a bad relationship. He could not stay away from a woman who clearly was not good for him. He was not good for her. It just all goes to hell in a handbasket. That's insane. It absolutely is insane what happened with Reuben Foster, and it's a crying shame. Number nine, biggest story of the year, Bobby Evans getting the axe. The team that never does anything different or strange finally did. The San Francisco Giants send Bobby Evans packing. They say that they've sent Brian Sabian packing, but I'm sure he's still got a parking space and an office in the building. Like, I don't really know what's going on there, but Farhan, let's see what you got. As far as I'm concerned, your first two seasons are total mulligan years where you're just trying to get the numbers right and figure it out and restock the system. That could lead to getting Madison Bumgarner being traded in 2019 as one of the biggest stories of 2019 when we do this segment looking back at next year. When next year becomes last year, at the end of next year, we'll look back maybe at that. I hope I didn't lose you. So those are stories 2 through 9. Warriors winning the title, Raiders trading Khalil Mack, Draymond versus KD, Jimmy G's torn ACL, Manaea's no-hitter, the A's and our breakup are all coming in at number 6. Mike Schumann's stolen jacket, number 7. Reuben Foster is number 8. Number 9, Bobby Evans getting fired. Number 10, and I'm going to brag a little here. Number 10, and I still haven't revealed what number 1 is, by the way. I will. Number 10 is the fact that 95.7 The Game used 2018 to officially be the season in which we have arrived as a station. This used to be a one-station town. Even though 95.7 The Game was on the air years ago, it was still a one-station town for a long time. Well, the little engine that was trying has become the big engine that did. We're not the little engine that could. We're the big engine that did. We have beaten our competition across the board. We've done it multiple times in multiple months in every day part, every host, every show. We have cast off what is a major ratings anchor to never see them again, and there ain't nothing stopping us now. 2018 was a great year for 95.7 The Game, and a big reason why is our program director, Matt Nahagian, who, by the way, ain't even here. This isn't a kiss-butt job. He is taking time off with the family, deservedly so. This guy is kicking KNBR's ass. I love it. It's fun to watch. It's fun to play for a coach who knows what he's doing. We got Bill Belichick. Seriously. Congratulations to all of my station mates, to all of my colleagues. I'm telling you, we're better than them every show across the board. Mornings, middays, mid-afternoons, our little dog and pony show. We're winning, baby. It's awesome. So there you go. That's the top 10, 2 through 9. I've yet to give you number one, which I'm about to do right now. The number one thing to happen in Bay Area sports in all of 2018, as far as I'm concerned, is something that I have never seen before in my entire life and probably never will again. It's the greatest throw in the history of Major League Baseball. The number one story in Bay Area sports 2018, as far as I'm concerned, belongs to Ramon Laureano.
Runner goes, 3-2 pitch, is hit to the gap in left center field, hit a long way. Out on the run is Laureano, and he makes the catch! An amazing catch! Sails the throw back to first base, and this is in time! On the fly from Ramon Laureano! What a double play by the rookie! An incredible play! Streaking toward left center field, makes the catch on the run, and sails it on the fly to first base, and doubles up Eric Young. Absolutely amazing.
That was one of the greatest plays that any of us has ever seen. A Cespedes-like throw from out there, reminiscent of what he did against the Angels several years ago, as if the catch wasn't great enough. Then there was the throw.
It was something I've never seen before. There's normally hyperbole when you hear play-by-play guys go, oh, I've never seen anything like that before. Look, I've seen NBA championships before. I've seen Kevin Durant hit that shot before. I've been to a Warriors parade before. I've seen titles before. I've seen GMs fired before. I've seen great players traded before. I've seen torn ACLs before. I've seen no-hitters before. I've seen perfect games before. I've had my jacket stolen once. I understand these things happen. I've seen a lot of this stuff. I have never in my life seen anything close to that. And of all the sports that we just saw, that's the only one that on my deathbed, if you ask me about it. Remember Ramon Laureano's throw? I'll be like, hell yeah, I do. Crazy old man sitting up in his deathbed. I'll be like, he did it. 321 feet, whatever it is. It was unbelievable. Maybe I missed a moment that you feel needs to be included. We'll come on back and we'll take your calls about that a little bit later on. But right now, we've got the playmaker, Michael Irvin, ready to join us here on 95.7 The Game, which I also...